1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." This idea behind Christianity, you don't hear a lot about. You just kind of hear that God's just okay with simple acknowledgement. And you know, if that was okay, if that was true, it would, I think it would make things a little bit easier. But I think we realize that anything in our life that's really worth something, that we have to commit ourselves to it, because it's hard. It's hard to pay the mortgage each month. You can't just skip that. You know, it's hard to overlook friends when, you know, they disappoint you. I mean, anything that's hard is a struggle to hold on to. And when we read verses like this, we can't disavow or act like that God doesn't want something from us, that He's not trying to produce something in us. And when Paul tells the church at Corinth that you see everybody running races, you know, because there was a lot of pagan temples and things that were there, and he said, you see a lot of people going about and prospering in these pagan temples, and you see people prospering in the governments and the how Rome was prospering from the seaports and all these things. And he says, you see all these people running around doing stuff. He says, but you know, really only one of these people is going to receive the prize. Only one. He said, all these people are going around and they're all kind of making a living, but there's somebody out there receiving the prize. You know, the emperor was getting a take from what everybody was making. And you know, the temples, when the meat and the sacrifices and the money and all that stuff come in, you know, there was somebody counting that stuff. There was somebody looking at that stuff. There was someone, and he's telling the church here, he says, be committed to what you're doing. He says, run in such a way that you will achieve a goal. And so, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what is our goal when it comes towards God? Well, brakes don't win races. I think it was Darrell Waltrip. I think he's the commentator, and I think he's a real laughable, funny guy. I don't watch a whole lot of racing. I watch it a little bit with my brother, but they were talking about coming out of turn two, turn three, whatever it is, and they said, you put on the brakes, and as soon as he heard that word brakes, he said, brakes don't win races. They don't. And so the idea here is that when we run in such a way to obtain it, I'm not talking about a break as in taking a moment. I'm talking about slowing down. I'm talking about putting on the brakes to slow down, you know, for Christ. See, early in our Christian walk, we don't really feel like we need to pump the brakes. But as time and life moves on and we become so tired with everything that is life and everything that is trying to raise kids, everything is trying to hold on to a job, everything that's trying to hold on to your church, to your walk, to all these things that pile on top of one another that are constant there, we start to slow down. We start to slow down. And even people who understand in the context of trying to run in such a way that we obtain it, is if you are slowing down in a race, that's not a good thing, is it? Nobody tells us that early in our Christian walk. You'll say that they were on fire for Christ, they were doing all these things, and then 10 years later, what happened? You know? What happened? They put on those brakes, they slowed down. And when this happens, God knew that this was going to happen. So He knew that we get excited about something. And this works with everything, with new relationships, with diets, with cars. You know, you would almost sell your soul when you see that car that you want, or that SUV or that house or whatever it is, and you're like, oh man, this is awesome. I would just love to have that. And you get it, and then 10 years later, you're willing to sell it. You don't even wash it anymore, clean it out. You know what I mean? You don't care. It's just changed. This was what the pinnacle was, but God knows that the luster wears off. And he's even smart enough to know that with us, when we start serving Christ, that and we start trying to change our life in the idea of God, that we start to slow down. We kind of pump the brakes on what God wants, and we start looking at some of the things that we want. Because we get tired. It's not because we don't really believe this anymore. It's not because we don't love God. It's just because we get tired of everything on top of everything. On top of everything. And God knows this. So He tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." See? We serve a God that understands the progression that we will go through. And so that's why if we are interested in running a race to win for God, to win for ourselves, or to win that goal that He has set before us, then He's our trainer. He's the one showing us how to do these things. He's the one showing us what we need, how we accomplish what we're striving for. Do you spend all your time training for a marathon and then get out there and not put your whole heart, 100% soul into it? Do you do that? No. There's people that run races and they train for these things so that when they get out there, they're prepared and they go at it. They don't just take off. You watch these people race. And I remember when I was younger and I watched people the running, whatever they call them, the marathons. That's what I was trying to think of, the marathons. And they've got these 15-mile, 30-mile, whatever it is. And I'm like, these people are just jogging. Right? I'm like, why are they going so slow? But see, that's what God says. God says, look, I'm glad that you're excited in the beginning, but I want a commitment rather than an excitement. Because if you just fuel off that excitement, if you just fuel off of that trying to get to the head of the pack to show that you get those points, that you led the race for so many laps, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're going to get tired. And that's why He says, don't grow weary in doing good. We do because we get. The reward is our goal. Nobody does anything for nothing. Nobody. If we do it to please ourselves, to please someone else. We do it out of a moral obligation. We do it for a reason. That's not wrong. That's not wrong. We have to understand who we are. That's what He tells us. He says, we're running a race. So He says, you run it in a way you can obtain it. But obtain what? The reward. See, we are goal-oriented. We want to achieve something. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? He says, don't grow weary in doing good. Why would you grow weary in doing good? Because the goal that you're reaching for is not worth it to you anymore, so you slow up. It's not worth taking the mouth of someone else and look like a fool over and over because you're tired of it and you want to make a change. You don't love that person anymore. You don't like that person anymore. You don't care anymore. The reason you slow up is because the goal that you're shooting towards is not really the goal that you were looking for. You were looking for something else. And so you have to ask yourself, what is it that I was looking for? You want to grow, be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Be honest. Just because He says this doesn't mean that that's what you're shooting for. You're never going to slow down serving God if your goal is to serve God. When you slow down, it's because you're not trying to serve God. You're trying to serve something else. Do not grow weary in doing good. If we know what it is our goal is, what reward we're actually looking for, that we will achieve. So we have to be honest with ourselves and understand what it is we're after. What do you want? Huh? What is it that you want? I guarantee you want some of the things that I want. It's just common for people to want some place to lay their head. It's common when you're hungry to then want something, not just sustenance or food, but to want something that you desire. You want something that's you want something. What is your goal? What are you really shooting towards? See, that in the beginning, this idea here starts with feelings, then manifestations of that joy in the things around us. you move into a place, and I have to do it something that's real for me. We got a property line, and we live in the county. It's not like we live out in the country and have this huge property, but we have woods that face that border our the end of our property, and it's junky because trees have fallen. And the previous owners, I would assume, and us, I know we've done this, we would cut up the tree once it fell, and we would just throw it back into the woods. I tried to cut it up and take it one time. My brother's got a really big truck, and it filled it up completely, but I still had to make two trips. It's a lot to get a tree that falls out of your... So we just threw it back in there, and it's junky looking. And so what happens is that you're committed to cleaning up, right? You're going to clean up something. So you go out there, you put in the work, you clean up your property line, you think, wow, man, this really looks nice. And then the ivy keeps growing, the trees keep falling, and the joy goes away because you can never really keep it clean, so you give up. So was my goal really to keep my property line looking nice? It was based on feeling. See, I was excited because I looked around, I thought, man, this looks really nice. But then the end result is that it took too much effort to keep it looking that nice. So I gave up on it looking nice because really, in that instance, I have to break it down, I was more interested in not having to do the hard work than I was for it to look nice. That was my goal, to do as little as possible to make it look as nice as possible. And when it became that I had to work more to make it look nice, I realized that my goal wasn't making it look nice. My goal was me not working as hard. You see how that works? And so you're saying, well, you know, good, Calvin, you just come up here standing and saying you're lazy, you know? Well, I'm not lazy. I mean, I can be, but the goal there wasn't to make it look nice. Otherwise, I would have continued to put in the work. So the joy is that, wow, this looks nice, and then a tree falls. And you're like, oh my gosh, I got to go through this again. Okay, well, I'll clean it up because it sure looked good. But then the joy in those things around us usually with the feelings. So what happens when those manifestations don't meet our expectations? I thought that if I really worked hard and kept my nose to the grind that I would be promoted at work and move forward and all this stuff. That doesn't work anymore. You know why? Because if you're a hard worker at work, they're going to keep you working. They're not going to promote you. You know why they don't want to promote you? Because you're the one that does the work. And if they promote you, who's going to do the work? That idea doesn't work anymore. It used to, but now it's a identity advancement. It depends on who you are, how you identify. All these different things go into it. It just, really, your ability at work has little to do with it. Because when they ask you and they say, oh, congratulations, I see you got promoted. And you'll say, yes, I was the first such and such to be elected here. Really, shouldn't we be talking about qualifications? What happens when what we think is going to happen from our hard work and dedication doesn't start happening? Remember what Paul said in this 1 Corinthians 9:24? If you read on, he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That means that he doesn't take off sprinting in the 15-mile race to get to the front of the line because he knows that he might get to the front of the line, but the energy that it would take to get him there is not going to be able to hold him there. So he hopes that he can endure and outrun somebody else. But he says, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. You know what the perishable crown is? It's gold and jewels. You put it on, it's worth something. It's prestigious. People who see this know that you are the man. You are the one. You're the winner. You're number one. You achieve this. You wear this crown. Everybody knows it. And they look at you and think, man, I want to be like him. You know, people hate Tom Brady for playing football. He's one of the best that there is out there. Who cares what his attitude is? He is a great player, and that's what the NFL wants. People love him because he's good. People are jealous of him and get mad because they're not as good. And then there's other people that look at him and say, I want to be as good as him, and so they train like he did. That's for the perishable crown. What everybody sees, what everybody wants. But Paul says we don't do that for the perishable crown. We do it for an imperishable crown. Is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference. The imperishable crown doesn't fade away. But the imperishable crown, nobody sees. The imperishable crown looks like shame that you wear like a shirt. You're the guy that's out there working and you're trying to keep up with everybody else and sweat is pouring off of you and they're laughing at you. That's the imperishable crown. You're the butt of everybody's joke. That's what the imperishable crown is. And so, what is our goal? Which one do we want? See, Paul tells us the ones, he says, that run in such a way that you can obtain it. He says, therefore I run thus. He said, knowing this, he says, I don't run with uncertainty. I have set a reasonable goal to serve a living God. And that's what I'm going to do. How do I obtain that? He says, it's going to be a fight, but I'm not as one who beats the air. He says, I'm not going to fight the things that aren't going to achieve my goal. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, how is this going to help me serve God? And sometimes the answer is, it won't. It will only serve me. That's the way it is. Sometimes you do this because you get upset. Sometimes you do this because you're wrong. Sometimes you do this because you're overjoyed. Sometimes you do this because you just don't think. But remember, our goal is to serve a living God, a risen Savior that has filled every aspect of life from the cradle to the grave to the sky. What is our goal and how are we going to achieve it? Paul says that the crowns are different. When you set a goal to serve God, the crowns are different. We can't run for a spiritual crown and expect a physical one. Now we can say we live in this life and all this, but we all endure. We all endure. I can look at some of y'all's lives and think, man, that was strong, that was tough, you got it easy, but you know what? You don't know anything about what I struggled through unless you've struggled through it. But I guarantee you one thing, what I do know is your commitment to how to get over that. Is your goal to serve God? That's what my goal is. And these struggles that come into my life, they're training. These struggles that come into our life is part of the race that we run. Everybody that runs in that marathon, there is only one winner. But there are not 5,000 losers. There's second place, there's third place. And let me tell you something. Even the last person that crosses that finish line still finished that race. What did you do? Do you understand? Even the last person finished that race. They were not last. The person that didn't get up to run that race, they were the last. They were the loser. So we can't fight for a spiritual crown and expect a physical one. And that's why he says that we don't run the race with uncertainty and we don't fight against things that don't help us achieve our goal. We must be clear-minded in our goal and what it takes to get there. So we spend half of the sermon time talking about this, and it comes up with a question that almost probably takes you the rest of your life to answer. How do you get there then? First of all, I encourage you to ask yourself what it is that you hope to achieve. Just start writing. You know, make you a little list if you have to. If you can't keep up with these things in your mind. What do I hope to achieve? Good job, good house, good spouse, good car. I mean, whatever. Just start writing. What is it that you hope to achieve? And then you might look and realize, you know what? I didn't even put God on the list. I only was thinking about things that would focus and help me. That's being honest of where you're at. And God says, that's okay. He says, if you come in that race and you're the last one to cross that finish line, He says, you finished that race. And that's what I've asked you to do. So be clear-minded in what your goal is. Understand that a spiritual crown is not the same as a physical crown. And let us understand what it takes to get there. Now, I feel sorry that I'm the one telling you because there's a lot better people out there to tell you how to get there than me. But my answer should come where their answers come from, the understanding of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:27, to move on with what Paul's talking about, this is how he says that he got there, okay? He says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. And so when we read that, we stop there, and so we think that we train on this race the way that we would train in other races, that it's physical, that we get ourselves used to certain things. And no, it's the other part that I want us to see. Because he says he disciplines his body, but then he turns around and says something that will truly hinder his goal. Right? Remember what we said, stay focused on the goal? He talks about discipline, but then he turns around and says, least when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. That is one of the things that we have to realize, that if we push perfection off on someone else, then that's going to disqualify us because we can't be perfect. See, we have to be able to look at people and our situations, and we have to be able to accept that it is damaged and that people like me, people like us, people like me, we're not always going to have the answers to the situations. We're not always going to help the situations. Paul was very careful here to say that part of that discipline is him understanding that what he's expecting of others, he's able to do himself. If he told those people that the only way to satisfy Christ was to be the first one to cross that line, remember, there were 12 apostles. That would have left 11 in the dust. That would have left 11 not pleasing God. Paul had to understand that the race that we were running, we had to be in a perspective that we could understand on how to run that race. I only have two slides, so. Every athlete must train and then fail. You know what that failure brings about? It brings about an endurance. It brings about a growth. And then you're going to be in a process. You're going to train, you're going to grow, you're going to fail. You're going to train harder, you're going to grow, and then you're going to come to a place where you're going to fail. This is what you're doing. But your goal, I'm not talking about the process getting there. I'm talking about stay focused on that goal. What is it that you're looking for? I want to truly serve God. I don't want to think that I'm serving God. I don't want someone to be proud of me that I'm serving God. I don't even want somebody to tell me that I'm serving God. I want to know that I am serving God. That is my goal. And so I am going to work towards that end, and I'm going to fail. And then when I see my failures, I'm going to make a change because my ultimate goal is to serve God. Not to be the best servant, not to be the worst servant, but to know that my life, I am serving God. That I have the mindset to serve God. I have the ability to let the Holy Spirit have control in my life more than He did yesterday and more than He did from the beginning. The idea of a Christian is easier than being one. Remember, we talked about that I must understand that I don't fight as one who beats the air, and I don't run without a goal. The idea of being a Christian is a lot easier than being one. I'll show you one of the things. See, people think that a Christian is supposed to love everyone. And so if you ever say anything that's derogatory or judgmental in any sort of way, they think that you're not being a Christian. Well, you know what? That would sure make things easier if that was truly the case, that we just loved everybody. That would make things a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? At least we would not be excluded from our friends and our family or put the brakes on our walk to fit in with them, because that's what we do. We get too far ahead and then we've left our friends and they don't want anything to do with us, so we slow down so we can be with them. And if it was just to love everybody, if God only wanted us to love everybody, that would be a much easier walk. Because then we would be accepted, we could accept them, and we could just have fun in life. But no, suppose you have a friend that says that I don't believe in Jesus, I don't worship Jesus, I worship another God, or I don't believe in God. And we're just supposed to be okay with that? No, we're not. I mean, even the Bible says that there's no other name under heaven which a man might be saved. So what is your goal? Is it to serve God, to be a true servant of God, or is it to be a friend of the world? And so in that moment, you have to decide, are you going to do what it takes to keep your mind set on that goal? Are you going to run in such a way with your goal focus that you are going to achieve what you set out to achieve? If I want to be a servant of Christ, then I have to explore that idea. I can't accept those lifestyles, those ideas that go against God Himself. It would sure be a lot easier if it was just love everybody and say, oh yeah, that's great. That's great. You know, I love how you take care of your house. So many people don't do that anymore. Your house is beautiful. The outside is beautiful. And people just don't care about that anymore. You're just so great. You're awesome. Just so great. See, we can't. That's not what God is looking for. That's not our goal, to please people. It is to serve God. And that's what I'm saying. Be clear-minded in what your goal is. Be clear-minded. Know what it is that you need help with. With this expectation, all these things that are going on here, when we put on the brakes to fit in with our families, when we preach things and we make ourselves disqualified, we try to stay on our goal, we get tired. That's why God said, don't become weary in doing good. And what happens is we fall into this. This is also the progression that he's talked about going into Corinthians. It moves into chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, because there will come a place when you think you've achieved your goal. Right? That you have trained to a place where you are adequately prepared to achieve your goal. And he's telling the church, be careful if you find yourself there. Be careful. He tells us that we can get there and that we should take heed to how we got there and the dedication that it took to get there, because if we don't, we could find ourselves falling. Falling from the ability to get our goal, falling from grace, falling from the lifestyle, falling from the idea of a Christian, just giving up on it altogether. And this is where, in verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. It is common for you when you race and endure and do this that you come to a place where you just don't care anymore and you're willing to give in. And he said, that's a common temptation. So we don't focus on the idea that we're willing to give in. We focus on the idea, how do we not give in? How do we not give in? And he tells us how that is. He says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so, what is that? When you find yourself, I don't know, I like scary movies and stuff, but you know, there's people that go through these haunted houses and stuff that are supposed to be haunted and all these things, and they carry the cross and they tell them that God is before them, nobody's going to be against them, and they think they walk in and command demons and all these things because they say they're a Christian, they hold a cross, and they've got the Bible. And then things start breaking down, and the walls start shaking, and the coldness comes, and the place starts to get set on fire, and then they look for that open door, right? They think, okay, God is going to provide for me a way to get out of this. You know how the way that would have been able to get out of this? This is where the training comes in. You find that you shouldn't have went there to begin with. This is where the training comes in. This is where your endurance, this is where your failure comes in, because you're committed to your goal. And you realize that there's just certain things in life that you can't do. Because there's certain things in life that you do that won't affect me at all. And there's certain things in life that I do that won't affect you at all. But there are certain things in each of our lives that are a true danger to us. They are a real danger to us. And so our training and failure and trying to compete for that prize, keeping our goal in mind, we realize that how we get out, how we escape, is we don't find ourselves there. You take a tornado. People who live in the flat Midwest, we go out there and the sirens go off and we're like, what are we supposed to do? And y'all said, nothing. It happens all the time. But see, these people have been through this and they know when it's serious, and they have provided a way through their escape. They have places where they can go into the ground, shut the door, go into the ground and let it pass. And you know what the reality is when they come up, their house may be gone. But they endured. But see, the goal wasn't the house. The goal was to keep themselves safe. Do you see the difference? God provided them a way through it. Not a way around it. He provided them a way through it. And the way through it is that once you find yourself there, you realize, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be in a place without a hole in the ground when this happens again. Training, failure, learn, grow. With too many breaks comes overwhelming temptation, and that's what we're looking at here. When you keep pumping the brakes to slow your walk down, you're going to invite this, the temptations, because your goal is going to change. If you're slowing down to serve God, you're going to pick up another goal. The other goals in your life are going to become stronger than serving God. And you've proven that because you're putting on the brakes to serve God. You see, we look at the race, think we're in the lead, and we slow down. Only people who are in a race who've ever been in competition of any sort realize how dangerous this is. When you're in the lead, that's not when you slow down. That's the moment we want to push ourselves harder. This is where we grow and our commitment is strengthened. Just because you don't see somebody on your heels doesn't mean there isn't somebody on your heels. And so at the very least, you keep the pace that puts you in first place. Your goal isn't first place. Your goal is to finish the race. But where you're at, you don't slow down. Because then when you slow down and people start passing you, it's like with golf when people hit these great shots from in the rough and 180 yards away and they can't even hardly see and they hit it and it gets inches from the hole. And you're like, man, I'm on fire. But when you start hitting from every tee, you hit in the rough, you birdied the first three holes and now you have went over on the next three holes. It gets in your head. People start passing you on the road because you've slowed down. It gets in your head and you start to give up. And God has shown you this. He's told you. He says, no temptation is common to man. I'll give you a way out. Endure. Push yourself. Hold on to your goal. But I can't stress this enough. You have to set the goal. People like me are only here to help you and slow you down. That's all we're going to do. Some days we're going to be really great and some days we're not. But how I am, how you are, that shouldn't change anything. You have to set the goal, but be clear about what your goal is. Is it to finish the race? Is it to come in first? What is your goal? Here's some things that when Paul talks about that, and these are last two things that I'll end with. Paul talks about not becoming disqualified, about temptation. There's two types of sin that we deal with in our life when I talk about putting on the brakes. There's a sin of omission, and it's not doing what I should. That means that there's something I should be doing, but I'm omitting doing it, right? Some examples of discipline for that is, because remember, this is going to be focused on from the imperishable crown. This is not a physical crown. This is imperishable. You miss a day of work, you miss money. You miss a day of worship, what have you missed? Right? I mean, see, that's our mindset, right? We just don't lay out of work, and we got to do the laundry, we got to go to the grocery store, we got to do this, we got to do that, but if things get really down to the wire and we just can't make it to church, it's just, don't come. Don't come. What's your goal? Worship. That's an example of omission, something that you have left out. Understand what your worship is. Understand what you're here for. We're not just here to receive something from God. We're here to worship God. He has already poured out the blessings of heaven upon us by forgiving us. We forget that. I know I forget that. I start thinking, why? And then I realize, wait a minute. Why me? Yeah, why me? Why did you forgive me? We don't ask those questions. I mean, we do, sort of, but more it's like, why this, why this, why that? He's already poured out the floodgates of heaven. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He's forgiven us. He's strengthened us and empowered us to take on the world. Understand what we're there for worship. Don't omit that from our life. Study, reading. Okay, study, reading, whatever. I mean, do you take time in the Bible? I got to tell you, it's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. It's just to stop your physical life for a moment and take a moment to read God's Word. Get up early in the morning, do it before you go to bed. Find a time. And if you're not organized and your life is kind of crazy, when you have a moment of downtime, we all have phones, they're free. Just pull up a Bible app and just read for a moment. Just read for a moment. Because one of the goals that you should have is that you just want to remain close to God. And you're not going to do that if you shut Him out except for right now, right? Prayer. I lay in bed before I go to sleep, and that's kind of when I meditate in a prayer sort of way. I start thinking about it's hard for me to think of the everybody. I go through everybody's name, and you find yourself being redundant sometimes. So you pray for people. I gotta find a way that I can understand how to pray for you. I don't know how to pray for you. I don't know what it is that you need. And so my prayer just is, Lord, give them what they need. Give them the strength that they need. Give them to them. So I just pray that every single night. No, I want something deeper. I want a relationship in my prayer life with you. Do you understand what that means? That's my goal, is not just to say your name, but to suffer. To feel, to shoulder that burden. Do you understand that? This is me, okay? These are sins of omission, because how easy it just to go to bed and not pray? How easy it to spend your life and not pray? It's pretty easy. What happens? Do you have the prayer cop come by and tell them that you haven't prayed, so you got to take an hour to pray because you didn't pray any for the past month? That doesn't happen. These are sins of omission. The imperishable crown, so we don't think they really mean anything. We can bypass them and not think anything about them. But then there's sins of commission. There's things that we do that we shouldn't do. Examples of those discipline is fasting. Fasting is a way that shows us that we believe in something past this body, that we're denying ourselves food, physical nourishment, because we believe in a spiritual part of our body. That's one way that we can help us to understand that we can't do everything we want to do. Solitude. Some people just like being around other people. They like to be the center of attention. Give that attention to God. Give that attention to God. Silence. We're so busy doing other things, let God speak. This is real stuff. This is a goal. What is your goal? I don't know what your goal is. And I don't need to know what your goal is, but you do. And you need to fight for that. Paul tells you that. Be clear in what you're doing and do it. And if you find yourself that you're not achieving what you want, then maybe you don't realize what your goal is. Prayer and fasting and reading and studying, and these things will help. You see this right here, the 1 Corinthians 24 through 27, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, and this right here. I've got this little note card that I've had ever since I was a young Christian. And I wrote it out and I stuck it and I always kept it near my computer. And these are the things that I have always pushed on my life. These are always the things that I have evaluated myself by. These are always things that I reminded myself of. This is a look into my life, into my walk with God. I want it to be real. I want my relationship with you to be real. I don't want this to be based on thoughts and feelings. I want us all to get where we're going. And so, you have to be challenged today to understand what it is you're fighting for. I'm talking about yourself. This is not about somebody else. This is about you. What are you fighting for? And are you achieving your goal? And if not, why? If you need help, we can talk. We can pray. These things almost seem silly, you know? It almost seems silly that you'd say, well, I'll pray for you. And you're like, okay, whatever. No. I'm here to tell you that God is real. He's in your life. And when you submit to achieving that goal that you've set for your life, He's going to help you achieve it. But be clear in what you're fighting for. Service, commitment, eldership, growth, strength, forgiveness. Be clear what your goal is. And together we can achieve that. That's how He set up the church. Remember, He said there's an eye, there's an ear, there's a nose, there's a mouth, there's a right hand and a left hand. He set up the church this way. You're not going to do it by yourself. God's already told you that. And if you think you are, you've already lost the race. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, there was 11 other apostles and disciples that were around, that were there to make that happen. And we just talk about Peter and he in his sermon, but there was other people there that were committed to the same purpose that Peter was. And they all died for that purpose. He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. We have to be committed to standing in that mystery, that true gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach out to the world. Because no matter what people are committed to, if they're not first committed to Christ, it will not matter. We can show them all the wonderful things that we've learned, because y'all are not baby Christians. Y'all have learned a lot. You have fought for a lot. You have grown a lot. And some of the stuff that's elementary to you may not be elementary to them. But help them achieve their focus in Christ. That's what the gospel does. Do I see Jesus for who He is? So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation? Decided to follow.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before. Yes, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me.